Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. How y'all doing today? Yeah, I know that rhymes. I didn't mean to make it rhyme, but it does. But I want to talk about Zaire Smith. You know, a couple days ago, word came out that, you know, Zaire has suffered a bone bruise in his left knee, and that he's going to miss the NBA restart in Orlando. You know, Zaire Smith has missed more games than he's played, and it's not even close. You know, Zaire Smith came to the 76ers as, he was traded. He was a first-round pick in the 2018 draft. He was selected by the Phoenix Suns at number 16. And the Sixers, and he was immediately traded to the Sixers for a draft pick and for Mikal Bridges, who a lot of people thought was going to be the perfect fit for the Sixers. Now, the thing about Zaire was, Zaire had a lot of upside. He was arguably the most athletic player in the draft. Young guy. Was a freshman. And a couple guys in the ownership group, a couple people in the front office, thought that he could have been a steal of the draft because of his upside, because of his athleticism. But as much as Brett Brown went out there and said how much he wanted Zaire and how excited he was and how he compared him to Kawhi Leonard, all this other stuff, sources have always told me that Brett was heartbroken when they made that trade, because Mikal Bridges was the guy. Perfect fit for the team. I mean, you can argue that if they went out there and they got Mikal Bridges, they didn't have to go out there and get Matisse Thybulle, right? You can argue that. But the Sixers drafted Zaire. You know, Zaire was a guy who was a college four-man, power forward. You know, the funny thing is he was listed as 6'4", 6'5". He measured out at 6'2 at the NBA Combine, right? He measured out at 6'2 at the NBA Combine, but he can leap. He is a guy that, for a couple more years of college, he would have probably been a star. The problem was his freshman year was they needed him to play the four. They needed his athleticism. So that's what he did. But the goal was, what Texas Tech was trying to do, is Texas Tech was going to convert him into a wing. And what happened, his stock rose a little bit because of his athleticism, and he goes into the draft where the Sixers draft a 6'2 power forward and convert him into a shooting guard. And now people are saying he's a bust because it didn't transfer. His skills have yet to catch up to where they need to be. Now, again, when I said that he missed more games than he's played, and it's not even close, that's not even an exaggeration. In 2 years, Zaire Smith has only played in 13 NBA games. He played in 7 this year, basically 7 showcase games because the Sixers were shopping him, and he played in 6 last year. Now, I feel sorry for the kid. I feel sorry for the kid because I feel as if he would have been better off staying in Phoenix. I feel sorry for the kid because I feel like he got some bad advice on coming out early. I feel sorry for the kid because he never really got a chance, an opportunity to show what he can do. I mean, think about it. When we talk about how Zaire Smith came, he came here initially the first day. The main question was, why in the world did you make that trade? Why did you trade Mikal Bridges to get Zaire Smith? Now, they did get a draft pick out of it, first round, unprotected. But why? Now, some can argue that they used that unprotected pick to get Tobias Harris, which is true, which is great. But no one knew about that at the time. I mean, Tobias, they didn't pick him up until the following February trade deadline. But all the hype was on Mikal Bridges. Everything was on Mikal Bridges. And they made that move. And Brett Brown stood up there, even though I heard he came to tears a little bit about that move, but he stood up there and he took all the bullets. He went on and he raved about Zaire, reminding him of Kawhi Leonard. He talked about how he's going to be this great player, this and that. Nah. The only problem with that, the guy never got an opportunity to show what he could do. Nope. You see, he was injured, but even when he was healthy, he spent time in the G League. That's it. Like, when you look over his career, right? So he goes, he comes here, he gets drafted, he goes to the Summer League. He plays, okay. I mean, he wasn't really, you know, a superstar, but, you know, it's the Summer League. He's learning a new position. So everyone's hyping him up, right? Everyone's still hyping him up, this and that. You know, this rookie, we're going to see what's happening. Now, I'm going to tell you this about him. The kid was a hard worker. I'm talking about a hard worker. All he wanted to do was just get better. All he wanted to do was make this transition from a power forward, undersized athletic power forward, to a dynamite shooting guard. That's all he wanted to do. And he was working hard. I'm talking about working a little bit too much, right? So, you know, the thing is with him, it's funny, he suffered an acute Jones fracture in his left foot while competing in a camp in August, right, of 2018. He was expected to return from that injury that December. However, he remained out until March 28th, 2018, to a life-threatening allergic reaction to something he ate back in September 2018. Now, mind you, this is something he ate at the facility. Now, the thing is, he's allergic to peanut butter. Now, you would think that they would know that, right? Or they probably did, but whoever, the chef fed him something with peanut butter in it. The reaction from that left him speechless and 40 pounds lighter, right? So he comes back. He only played 6 games that season. This season, Smith has averaged 1.1 points in 7 appearances. And the team unsuccessfully tried to shop him. I mean, I had one scout tell me at a game, like, man, they ain't going to be able to trade him. Come on, man. He's a jumping man. He's a jumping man. And he said, plus, everybody knows that they don't want him. But they don't even give him a chance. All they do is send him down to the G League. You know, and the guy was right. And, you know, from the beginning, it was weird. Like, in the beginning of the preseason, back in, September, October, you know, they were like, yeah, Zaire's going to start out with the G League team. He's going to work out with the G League team. The only thing is the G League team didn't start yet at that particular time when they said that. So you knew he was out of the plans. And this came after this summer where he was on the summer league team with Matisse Thybulle, who they ended up drafting in the first round. And, you know, he showed a little bit of signs of improvement, in my opinion. You know, him and Matisse had really good rapport. You know, everyone was saying they could throw those two defenders at people because Zaire can defend. But he never really got that opportunity. Nah. So you looked at it like you were saying, wow. So they admitted that they probably made a bad trade. I mean, let's just say they admitted that they probably picked up the wrong guy and that he can't play for them. And now you feel sorry for him because now he has a bone bruise in his left knee. He's not going to go down to Orlando. He probably wasn't going to go anyway. Now, the thing is, from what I'm hearing is, the team told him, just take the 3 months and rest it up so you could be 100%. But look at it, y'all. If he would have now, there's other teams where players who were injured are going down because they're going to be a part of the atmosphere. They're going to be a part of the team. Right? And even if, I know he has a bone bruise, but if Ben Simmons had a bone bruise, if Joel Embiid had a bone bruise, heck, if Josh Richardson had a bone bruise, they would be down there. And guess what? They were trying to get those dudes right and ready to play. We all know it. A bone bruise. So, that's where we are with this situation. I feel so sorry for the kid. I mean, I went to his high school. I met his high school coach, met his principal, you know, met AAU coach. You know, and you look at this guy, and, you know, sometimes your athletic ability gets in the way of progress or development, growth. You know, he was just a guy who was so athletic that, okay, we need him to play center. He could get up and he could jump. He could do whatever. Guy's bigger than him? Nah, there's no biggie. Go out there, Zaire. Get that ball. And he never really got to work on his perimeter skills. And I'm telling you, the people at Texas Tech wanted him to stay longer so he could work on that. I wish him the best. I mean, I wish Zaire the best because, you know, I think in the right opportunity, I'm not saying a star, but I think in the right opportunity, given the right opportunity, he could become a rotation guy. It's just probably not going to, it's not going to happen here. It's not. It's not. And for his growth, he has to go. I mean, for his growth, he has to go. Now, the thing is, what's probably going to happen if the Sixers don't trade him, they probably won't pick up, you know, who knows what they do. I'm not going to pick up your option. And then you just go away quietly. You hope that Tobias Harris continues to play on an elite level. you hope that Matisse Thybulle becomes that guy. To whereas you can look at Zaire and you'll say, you know what, y'all? This guy right here, drafting him was part of the process. It helped us get better. We got Tobias out of it. And it all sounds good. It does. When you factor in if Tobias plays well, especially if Tobias becomes an all-star, then you can say, okay, I see that. It was about acquiring an asset. I see that. But just wish this guy all the luck in the world. You know, we're talking about the Sixers and we're talking about this NBA restart. I don't know. Yesterday, Brett Brown addressed the media on a Zoom call, which is something I have to get used to. It's something I got to get used to. But, so he addresses the media on a Zoom call, and everything is good. And it's funny because all the expectations are always the same. Like, whenever we have these things in the beginning, we always hear about Joel Embiid being in tip-top shape recently, about how he's in the best shape and this and that. We heard that back in September, October. You know, this one is like, you know, Ben's revving, ready to go. You know, he's 100%. You know, the thing is about these things, and I do believe that Joel Embiid is in good shape. I do. And I do believe that Ben is, his back is ready. You know, he's ready to go. But the thing is, it's like, whenever we have these opening type things, press conferences, is always positive. Everything is. I mean, you really won't know what the team is like until they. I'm not even going to say when they play those three scrimmages. What I am going to say is, you're really not going to know what the team is like until they. Until they start playing these games, like you, when they go open up against Indiana, you know. But everything's optimistic, and it gets to a point where it's like, you know, you feel good. You're like, okay, my team. I'm talking about if I'm a fan, like, you know what I mean. I'm not a fan. I'm a reporter. But if I'm a fan and my fan, the friends who I know are diehard Sixers fans, they're like, yeah, man, I saw the tweets. I saw this other stuff. I feel really good about the team. I mean, we're going to be there. We're going to do that. We're going to do this. And it's like I keep trying to tell them, every team, when they start a restart, everything is positive. It's just how it is. We worked on this. We did that. We da-da-da. Now, maybe not the Brooklyn Nets, where they got guys not wanting to play. You know what I mean? But for the most part, it's that way. So, we'll find out. But I'm not going to lie. A little bit, though, you know, I was like, okay, this sounds good to hear. Something good to write about. I mean, the one thing that really impressed me, that stood out to me as a black male, was hearing Brett Brown, what he said about Black Lives Matter. I mean, that was good to me. And if you want to know more about it, you need to, like, go to Inquirer.com, go to the Sixers page, and you can read about what he said. He talked about how he was always, you know, he would get apologized every time to his team, every time they would come out of the Martin Luther King Museum. He talked about all the things, the Black Lives Matter movement, and the stuff that he and his committee that he's on with the coaches committee for social injustice and Stuff like that, how they are getting information and meeting people, and how much this stuff is really, has an impact on them. So you need to do that. You also need to download this podcast on Spotify. You can also listen to it on Apple iTunes. All right. But I want to thank y'all for listening. And again, I know some people are out there killing desires, man. Killing them. Now, last year, he had the injuries. Set him back. Life-threatening injury. Before that, they hyped him up. I mean, they called him Kawhi. I mean, think about it. Just think about this. Here's a dude no one knows about. We just know he's athletic. But you don't know anything about him. I mean, heck, he played against Villanova and you still didn't know anything about him, right? So they walk in the gym and they talking about he's Kawhi 2.0. Now, I don't know about y'all, but when I was coming up and somebody said somebody reminded them of Jordan 2.0, then I'm like, okay, this guy got to be the GOAT. And then when he's not, you're like, wow. So they lift the bar so high that you can't do anything but fail. But that's a different story. So then, he gets sick. He loses weight. He fights back to play. He plays six games. Looked like a rookie in those six games. Looked lost, but what do you expect him to do? And then this year, he just didn't get an opportunity. And then they put him in there to showcase him and shop him. And of course, he's going to make mistakes at times. I mean, he's pressing, he hasn't played. But I feel sorry for the kid. I wish him a lot of luck. I just don't think it's going to happen here. All right, y'all. Peace. Deuces.